We acknowledge your presence, O Lord God. For you said that when we gather, two or three of us shall gather in your name, you are in the midst. And Father, we are holding to that promise that you are in the midst. And you said, Lord, that when we search for you with our hearts, we will find you with our whole hearts. And we are searching, Lord, for you because you're the only one that have the word of truth, the word that brings life. Father, you have brought us here because of your great love and mercy, and we have come. And you have prepared a feast for us, Lord, and though we are not worthy, you said that in the name of Jesus we can approach. So through the blood of Christ we approach you, and we accept what you have to offer. Lord Jesus, minister to us by your Spirit, and we will rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Be glorified, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You will have a chance to read this particular verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, a little later on in the service. But it is important to the message I believe that we are going to be a part of today. First of all, from Psalm 95, reading from verse 1 to verse 7. And then I'm going to read from Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through to 13. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him or extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Flick with me to Luke chapter 11 and reading from verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For whoever will ask receives, and who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Praise the Lord for his word. You would have seen the theme for today, freedom to live. Stop holding back. They seem to be so strange to put the two of these together. But maybe we need to stop after having gone through a hectic year, a year of difficulty, a year of challenge, a year of whatever, and just pause long enough to hear what God is saying to us so that we will be a people equipped, a people that are ready, a people that are prepared to face the excitement of this year. I'm going to say the excitement of this year. Because this year for the believer will be an exciting year. Especially since God has already gone ahead of us to prepare us or prepare for us so that in every situation that we will find ourselves in this year, we will be very conscious, or we can be very conscious of the fact that God is there. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because then that might be defeating the purpose for me being here. There are just three things that I want us to focus on for today. The first one has to do with knowing who you are. Do you know who you are? And the second one is, do you know what is meant when we speak about God? What are we saying when we speak about God? And of course, the third part will have to be, stop holding back. There's a natural progression between the three. When you come to understand who you are and your role or your purpose, and then you begin to be aware of who you belong to, then you receive the energy to be free to do all that you are supposed to do. Hopefully, you will stop holding back. Today, when we consider who we are, sometimes we hear that we are the result of some evolutionary process. Something relating to, and I don't want to go too much into this section of it, some Big Bang theory or some other process of evolving. And we are also told, well, you know, you might just be a biological or a physiological wonder. And because of your ancestry or your parental heritage, you are the result of all of these things, these genetic factors coming into place so that you become what you seem to be right now. Or maybe they might go and say, well, you know, really and truly, those things might sound pretty good, but really, you are the result of the environment in which you live. So you are a mixture of the environmental and the sociological and even the cultural landscape within which you find yourself. And you try to search for an understanding or balance so that you can get a firm grasp of who you are. And especially the sociological and the cultural aspect of this identity. We find ourselves with everyone saying to us, well, you know, you can only be A, B, or C if you have this type of home or this type of gadget, or you dress in this particular way, or you have this job, or, and you can add all the other ors to that. And because of these things, so many persons are in confusion, and so many persons are opting out of society, and so many persons have ended their lives because they can't seem to match up to the picture that is put to us. And then we have the Bible that brings a better and a firmer understanding of what it is all about. Because the Bible speaks of you and me as the work the creative work of an intelligent designer, the creator of the entire universe. You know, in other words, it is not a happenstance or perchance or some frivolous accusation or theory. It was a purposeful, deliberate action of the creator of the universe. And the Bible doesn't leave us there that we are the creative work of God, but it shows us how special, how treasured we are. And it says to us in Psalm 139 and verse 14, that you and me, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Just pause a while and tell yourself, I am special because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am made in the image and likeness of God. Not some perhaps. I am made of proper stock. I am a treasured creation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 13, the word says to us that he has made everything beautiful in his time. So when you look at yourself, even if no other person looks at you this way, remember that you are beautiful. And you are beautiful simply because God made you beautiful. Whether any other person wants to acknowledge it or not, that is not important. The fact is that when God looked at you, he did it with beauty. And in Genesis, it says that when God looked at everything that he had made, he saw it and it was good, and God was very pleased. In addition to this, you and I have been created for eternal fellowship with God. In this same passage of Ecclesiastes, it says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. So it was not just for a short period of time for fellowship. No, God had an eternal purpose when he made you, when he made me. And God made us for greatness. He created us for greatness. When you have a chance and you read Psalm 8 and verses 3 and 6, you will see that he made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. You're so special. I am so special. And the enemy knew this, and he decided that he didn't want this to happen and try to start a short circuit the plan of God, try to derail the fellowship that we experienced with God. Then, I know you'll have some time and you go back home, just in that same Genesis passage, I think it's Genesis chapter 2, it says, and God walked in the cool of the day in the garden. And he called to Adam, Adam, where are you? And that is, for me, symbolic of the fact that God walked with Adam in fellowship. And then as I was thinking about this, something that hadn't even crossed my mind came to me. And it was that Enoch walked with God. Fellowship. You and I were created for fellowship with God. And the enemy sought everything he could to destroy it. And for a moment, it seemed like if everything was lost. But God proved his immense love to us. And he gave Jesus. And this is why we have to acknowledge that the love of God is tremendous. It is so amazing. And that because of this fact, nothing can derail the plan of God. Nothing that the enemy will seek to throw at you or I during the course of this year or any other time can do it. The love of God, its breadth and its length, its height, its depth is revealed in and through the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us at Calvary. So this leads us then to start to ponder about this God that is so important in this whole equation. We know we have heard that God is a jealous God, that God is all wise, he is all powerful, he's all knowing, he is love. When the Hebrew people, the Jews spoke of God, they were able to conceptualize God in ways that we very often don't see. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, I'm just going to give you some idea of some of the ways that God is described or God is seen. And hopefully as you look at these words that come up on the screen, you will see within them how God can or will or should apply to you. The same applies to me as we go through this year. So they speak of God as Jehovah Elohim, the self-existent one, the one who has or delights in having covenant fellowship with his people. They speak of him as Adonai, the master, the sovereign Lord, creator of all, the one who should be worshipped alone. They speak of him as Jehovah Jireh. We hear this one a whole lot, so we know this one fairly well, I think. Speak of him as the God who sees, the God who provides. And I just want to pause quickly on this one, because whenever I think about this Jehovah Jireh, I remember God saying to Moses, Moses, I have a task for you. I have seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I understand their suffering, and I am come down to deliver them. So wherever you are right now, remember Jehovah Jireh. He sees, and he is able to provide. We also speak of him as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord or banner. I might say a little bit more about this one later. But for the Christian, the banner of the Lord is the blood-stained cross of Jesus Christ. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see you and I, or you and me, whichever one you want me to say. He sees Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that has made you and myself the people that God requires. And that will make you and I the people that God requires. Let me just pause a little bit and go on to the next one. Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. You're my physician. How much we need him today with all the sicknesses that are among us. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah, the Lord God who is our peace. And of course, Jehovah Tiskenud, the Lord our righteousness. When you have a chance, read Jeremiah 33. You need to read it because then you will understand that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jehovah Mekadeshnu or Mekadeshkim. At one point I was saying, Lord, should I move this one? And I didn't get a yes to that, so I had to go and concentrate on what the word was saying, what the reference was. And this has to do with being set apart. The Lord who makes us holy, who sets us apart to be holy. And this is what God is calling you and I to during the course of this year, but don't let me run ahead of myself. Jehovah Sabaoth. During the course of this year, you will and I will experience all types of challenges, all types of battles, and God is saying to us, I am your commander in chief. I am the Lord of hosts. So you can call on him whatever battle you have. And I remember as I speak to you now, Hezekiah, when God says to him, you will not need to fight in this battle. I will fight for you. Jehovah Shammah. And if there's one that we need for this moment in this sanctuary, it is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. And I am very conscious of that as I stand here, that the Lord is present. And wherever you are this year, you will have to breathe this, Lord, I believe that you are here with me. Of course, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you are so conscious of God being present with you. Jehovah Elion, the Lord Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, the everlasting God. He is the one who remains forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, we have Jehovah Rohi. We need him to come and lead us like a shepherd. There are just a couple more, so let me just give you those quickly. Jehovah Hosseinu, the Lord our Maker. I've made mention to this earlier, and you would have read it in the psalm that we read. Jehovah Eliheinu, the Lord our God. Jehovah Elohei, the Lord my God. And then we have El Shaddai, the great one. I love this. The Almighty God, the strong nourisher, the giver, the sanctifier, the one who is all bountiful. We need, as we go on, to realize, yes, that we have been created out of good stock. Yes, we have been created for a magnificent purpose. And yes, we have been created by a God who is all-encompassing, who changes not, who remains the same, and who will be from everlasting to everlasting. He will be God. And because of this, You and I should be at that place where we will be free to become worshippers of God. Even if you stop and just thought about one of those names that reflect God, you can spend the whole day just worshiping Him as the God who is present. The one who supplies whatever. You can just stop long enough to say, Lord, I will come before You with a song. I will come before You with praise because You are the worthy one. We experience freedom to live because this God, when He saw that all seemed to be lost, at least when man thought that all was lost, He gave Jesus Christ. And as children of God in Jesus, He has made us free. And John 8 and verse 36, and whom the Son has set free, you can say the rest with me, is free indeed. So I have been made free by Jesus. And you can say that every single day He gives you breath. And you're free to be a worshiper. Because the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and... Now you can speak in here, I think. The Father delights in those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, you might not be all that you're supposed to be, but God says that when you come, just come as you are and be free to acknowledge that you have fallen, that you have sinned against Him. He says that when we confess, what will happen? He is a faithful God. He will forgive us our sins and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you come before Him with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, you can be thankful. I can be thankful and bless His name. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. As a true worshiper of God, you and I have been given authority. We have a freedom that we don't begin to understand. Can we have that slide? Because sometimes we don't understand how special we are. It is like if God has given to you and I a blank check. Because He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows our wants too. And He says to us that whatever it is that we might have, whatever it is we might need, He has given the authority. Ask. How does Jesus put it in John chapter, is it John chapter 15? John chapter 15, when it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him, something will happen. Life will be birthed in that individual. And when that person remains in Jesus, that person is free to ask anything. In verse 7 it says, and you will ask the Father anything in my name and He will grant it to you. Why? Because He says in verse 16 and 17, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you so that you may go out and you may bear fruit that will remain. God has given to us the privilege of calling on Him in any or every circumstance. He has made possible. It is just like a blank check. All we have to do is write in there what is needed. And He who knows what we really need will grant that which we need. This is why we will be free to live. But some of us haven't come to this truth yet. We are so afraid of all the forecasts that are around us that we hold back. And we don't experience the blessings of the Lord. We don't experience the peace of the Lord. we don't experience the joy of the Lord, the contentment that the Lord gives, because we are trying to work it out on our own. And God is saying to us that if you're going to be a true worshiper, you have to stop holding back this year. How are we holding back? We hold back on our finances because we have to save for the rainy day. We just have to be careful that we don't leave ourselves exposed, and then when things happen unexpectedly, we won't be able to provide for ourselves. And as I was focusing on thinking about this, the passage in Malachi chapter 3, I think, I'm trying to remember if our pastor spoke about that. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9 to 11 says, "You'll rob God." And we say, well, how have we robbed God? Because we give so much, we are so free with whatever. It says, concerning your tithes and offerings. You know, we have robbed God concerning our lives, because our lives have not really been spent for Him as they should be. Just want to share a little story of a guy I knew. This night, I know this guy very well. And only recently he had to speak to a good friend, and she was in a serious financial bind, and he prayed for her and thought that that was okay. And just when he was leaving, he didn't really have anything to give to her. And but the thought came to him, well, you have $100. That was the only money he had. And he didn't think about that at all. And he decided, well, you know, I will give her the $100. Well, so he gave her. Now, he don't have any money. And then he went to a meeting. And one person gave him an envelope with $200 in it. Then another person gave him an envelope with $100 in it. In other words, because he was willing to give, God honored his giving. And that's only one instance of the fact that God will provide. He knows what we need. But we also hold back on our friendship, because we try to pick and choose who we should be friends with, or who we should befriend. And so we close up our ears when God is saying to us, go to person A or person B. And we don't share a word with that person. I remember hearing the story of a young lady who had visited a church. This is in Barbados, where I came from. And she had visited and going through a whole lot of problems, and nobody spoke to her when she was leaving. And then as her car was driving down, one of the sisters in the church went out to her and stopped the car and spoke to her. I'm not sure what the conversation was all about, but the fact is that that person reached out to her in friendship and in fellowship. And because of that contact, that young lady remained, continued coming to the church. She became a member of the choir. She is now one of the leaders in the church. And what I'm saying to you is that when we become free with our friendship, you don't know the deep, deep impact, the long-lasting impact that it will have, not only on the individual that you spoke to or you befriended, but all the other persons that will be in that individual's life. Bear it in mind as we go through this week. We hold back on our worship, because very often we don't prepare ourselves for the gathering together of the believers. And so we come in to worship. But really and truly, this should be an extension of what was taking place right through the week. We should have been praying. and preparing. Even if the preacher is not as prepared as he should be, you are going to make sure that you will be prepared so that when you come into the fellowship, that if only one individual is getting something from God, it would be you. And this worship of God moves us into service for God. So when you think about worship, worship and witness and service, they all go together. The Bible shows us those people who suffered because they held back on God. Davies, he held back. Ananias and Sapphira, they held back. And all the beauty that they could have experienced, they lost it. Yes, maybe some of us are saying, well, I'm not sure about this God that you're talking about anyhow, but that's one way that the enemy is giving you to hold back to. I dare you to say, if you are real God, then prove yourself to me. God says, put me to the test. He says, when you put me to the test, see if I will not open my storehouses and shout on you a blessing. You don't have to remain in a state of ignorance. You don't have to remain in a state of doubt. I can tell you this because this is where I was. I know what it is to doubt. I know what it is to have been in that place where you're not sure. But when you dare to reach out in faith, I don't understand what it is all about. I'm not sure where this is going to lead me, but I'm going to dare to trust you to be who you said you are. You can be absolutely certain that he will be. And more. So this year, God is calling you and calling myself to be worshipers. Persons who would love the Lord enough to allow our lives to be lived, to be spent, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified. The question is, would you? We sang that song, give him all your years, your tears and sadness, give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Yeah, you would. Because God is all that he said he is, and much, much more. I dare to say to you this morning that if you're one of those individuals who want to stop holding back, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to stand. God knows what it is that he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. Wherever you are, just stand there, and it is saying to us, Lord, I will hold back no longer. If you can't stand, then raise your hand. And by doing this, you're also saying to the church, pray with me and for me that I will be faithful to God through this year. Because I want nothing to stop me from being the person that God requires of me. I want to be used by God to honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. I want my life to be so lived that people will come to know Jesus whom he has sent, so that they would not have to lose out on all the beauty and the benefits that God has provided. Yes, God is our maker. God is our savior. God is sovereign. God is present. God is our supplier. God is our nourisher. God is our savior. We can say that, but unless we are willing to enter into that experience with him, we will not know him as the Elohim, the covenant-making God with his people. I challenge you as I challenge myself. Honor God to stay by refusing to hold back any longer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow before you, saying that we will no longer hold back on you. but that we will give ourselves to you, Lord God, to be spent for you, so that many may come to know the treasure of having you as God, walking with you as friend, being ambassadors. Glorify your name, O Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, that we have the slide with Psalm 95. I'm going to ask you to read that with me together. Let's read. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock of his care. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. As we sing the last song, if there's anyone with a special need, a decision that you will walk with God this day, I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to come before us here. I'm going to ask the pastor, I didn't ask him before that, that he will be the one to pray with you and for you. Father, let me dedicate all this year to thee. In whatever worldly state thou wilt have me be, not from sorrow, pain, or care, freedom there I claim. This alone shall be my prayer. Glorify thy name. I know this song is not well known. I may have to be singing a solo in the first verse and maybe even the second verse. I hope not.